Good afternoon. Iowa school districts are in the middle of tough contract negotiations with teachers. The salary ranking for teachers has improved for the state, but the tough economy could result in a backslide. Also, funding from the state has declined, and some districts are turning to property taxes or cash reserve accounts to make up the difference. Others are resorting to layoffs. Meanwhile, executives at the Iowa Association of School Boards are embroiled in a scandal for allegedly misusing taxpayer dollars. Here to discuss the fiscal health of our schools today, representatives from across the board, North Scott Superintendent Jeff Schwiebert, Cedar Rapids School Board member Keith Westerkamp, the Executive Director of the Iowa State Education Association, Mary Jane Cobb, and Democratic Representative Cindy Winkler of Davenport, who chairs the House Budget Subcommittee on Education. Thank you all for being here today. Well, let me start by asking about property taxes, because the Legislative Services Agency shows that the governor and Democratic majority will not fully fund the state's share of a 2% budget increase, and in fact will be short about $170 million. For smaller districts, that can mean a shortfall of $100,000 to $200,000. For medium-sized districts, it can be $1 to $2 million. Some of Iowa's larger districts, it's a big hole, nearly $4 million in Iowa City and Waterloo, over $5 million in Davenport, that's a $6 million shortfall in Cedar Rapids, and a whopping $11 million shortfall in Des Moines. Cedar Rapids School Board member Keith Westerkamp, let me begin with you. How are you handling that $6 million shortfall in state funding as you look to increase your budget by 2% next year?
Well, our only choice is that we have to raise the local property taxes. We have no other option. We've already laid off, essentially, or not rehired 49 teachers, and we're looking at letting some support staff go.
It's a pretty substantial property tax increase as well, right? It's about 12.5%. It's about $200 a year for a home of $150,000.
That's correct, and we get another whammy because of the floods of 2008. We still have make up from that, and we lost enrollment because of that. So we really don't get 2%, and there's a lot of districts that are in our same situation that we have to make it up on the local property tax level if we don't have enrollment growth.
This has been something that minority Republicans have been very critical of the majority party for. Although the state is experiencing its own shortfalls in tax revenue has declined by about $500 million. That being said, though, are you concerned that when they adjourn, the governor will go out on the campaign trail and most likely say he balanced the budget without raising property or without raising taxes? And while that's true at the state level, the decisions made in Des Moines at the state house will affect taxes in outlying communities.
Well, clearly, I think you're going to have to see, and you're already seeing, that a lot of school districts are going to have to raise taxes. You either want 80% of our budget comes from personnel, and there's decisions have to be made early in the year by April, and we have to make those decisions in an unknown vacuum because we're not exactly sure what will happen, so we have to be sure that we protect the education of our children in Iowa.
All right. Let me talk to North Scott Superintendent Jeff Schwiebert. Jeff, let me ask you, what are you doing in your district? 2% allowable growth or 2% budget increase. The state funds 80-some percent of that, not fully funding it this year. What are you doing in your district to make sure you get a full 2% budget increase?
Well, we, too, will be looking at raising our property tax. One of the things I think we need to understand about this is that last year's 10% across the board cut continues into this year. So that 10% is still being cut. I believe the state and the governor has talked about that they're going to fully fund the 2% for this year. But remember, we're still carrying over that 10%. And even if the governor gets it to where he can cover $100 million of that $270 million debt, that's where that $170 million shortfall is coming from. And whenever we do a shortfall in the foundation formula, it's going to go back on property tax. And the problem with property tax in the state of Iowa is that it's an unfair distribution when we start pushing it back on property tax. I'm currently at North Scott. North Scott is a relatively high amount of assessed valuation behind each student. But I was formerly at Mount Vernon. And at Mount Vernon, there is 13 times less dollars per student at Mount Vernon than there is at North Scott. So the effect of a property tax increase is felt variably across the state. Some areas feel it much, much more.
I need a little bit further explanation on that. Are you saying that property-rich districts do better or those with lower-valued homes, or what do you mean?
I'm meaning that property-rich districts tend to have less of a challenge in raising their property tax than some of the property-poor districts. And Norwalk would be a great example in the Des Moines area. Is basically full of residential property and has very little industrial property. So as a result, their ability to absorb any kind of property tax increase makes their overall property tax rate go up much, much higher. There are some places in the state where the education property tax levy is $11 or $12 per thousand. There are other places in the state where it's over $20 per thousand. So anytime we bump off the formula program, anytime that that state dollars and we push it back to property tax, the inequities across the state for kids increases. And I think that's the biggest challenge that we have in this particular time. We're $1 million short in North Scott. We will make that up through – we had a retirement savings that we had predicted, and we were able to use some of our money from our cash reserves, and we're going to raise our property tax a little bit. But we're going to make it easier than some areas because we are have more property to back up our kids. Other areas, that's not true. And that's why this will cause more inequities across the state than we have had in the past.
I want to bring in Representative Cindy Winkler because she's been working hard on this budget this session. And I know that personally you're disappointed that you're not able to fully fund this. But what do you say to their concerns that this is a bad way to do it by pushing it back on property taxes?
Well, I think one of the things that we need to remember is the school districts requested that we keep that 2% allowable growth funding spending authority. So although they knew that it might be difficult to fully fund it, they still wanted the opportunity in the local districts to make that decision on a local district level to have that spending authority. The other thing, as they're making the decisions, that they need to think about is what they might have in the undesignated unreserved funds in
their
district.
Is that their cash reserves?
It would be more like their rainy day fund. They have the dollars. They need the authority to spend it. We have given them basically spending authority to use those funds, and it should be a blending of, if they have a cash reserve, it should be a blending of their cash reserves, much like Jeff mentioned at North Scott, their tax incentives, their opportunity to raise taxes, and then in some cases they're looking for efficiencies as well.
Mm-hmm. Let me bring in Mary Jane Cobb, who is the executive director of the Iowa State Education Association, which represents teachers across Iowa. Your group has been asking districts to look at cash reserves, to look at property tax increases before layoffs, worried that that's going to have a bad impact on kids. Talk to me about that.
Well, I think certainly if there are revenues that a school district could pull into their budget and maintain programs for students before they make cuts, that's the advisable thing for them to do. Representative Winkler was talking about the ending fund balancers or the rainy day funds. It's important for those funds to be expended. Those were generated to support education programs, and they should be spent on those programs before we go through the process of cutting teachers and cutting staff, because that really is cutting the programs for the students. And those students aren't going to have a chance to be in fourth grade or sixth grade or eighth grade again. So we need to make sure we do everything we can to get it right this time.
All right. Cedar Rapids School Board member Keith Westerkamp. Keith, there has been a lot of pressure on districts this year to say, you know, before you raise property taxes or before you have to impose layoffs, go to your cash reserves. Are schools ready or willing to do that?
Well, I think there's a lot of districts out there don't really have that much in cash reserves. Cedar Rapids is fortunate that over the last few years, we have been trying to build up our cash reserves. And, you know, they hit the key word, rainy day fund. Well, we had that rainy day fund in 2008, and we are having to spend some of that money. And we just simply don't have that much in cash reserves in a district our size. And I think you look across the state, that's pretty well true. And it's really our district is in much, much better shape than some districts. They have nowhere to go. They have absolutely got to lay off people, and there's a reason that those reserves were set up.
Well,
they
are
necessary.
Let me ask you about those, though, because there sometimes to be seems to be a debate of, all right, when is it raining? You know, when we put money in our savings account, we think, okay, it's for when I really need it. And then sometimes when we need it, we, oh boy, we loathe to take it back out because we work so hard to put it in there. Is a dramatic economic downturn, a 10% across the board budget cut from the state, is that a the time to go to reserves? And if not, what is, in your mind, the right time to use those?
Well, yeah, that's the time to go to the reserves. And we had no choice because it was forced down on us from the state level. And, you know, there's a lot of districts have got a lot of structural issues with their real estate. And I understand that the funding in Iowa is so complex that you can't take money from one pot to another pot. And we're talking about the general fund right now. And, you know, we have to remain competitive in the marketplace to attract the best teachers we can. And no one wants to do layoffs, but we are in a bind. That's all there is to it. And Cedar Rapids is far better off than many of the small districts around the state. They are really, they do not have anywhere to turn.
Representative Winkler, when they talk about, sometimes there does seem to be a hesitancy from school districts to use those reserves. Have you found that?
There is, and a lot of it depends on the capacity that they have in their reserves. For example, the Cedar Rapids District at the end, their CAR report for FY09 showed that they had $13.9 million of undesignated unreserves. The across-the-board cut was $8.4 million. So their opportunity, because they have that spending authority, their opportunity to take it from undesignated unreserved dollars is certainly there. That is a decision, though, that is local. And they have to look at the agreements that they make with their bargaining units within their district as well for next year and make sure that they don't put themselves in jeopardy next year. But utilizing a 10% across the board cut is unheard of. And it was only as a result of our tremendous reduction in revenue. So utilizing reserve funds that are undesignated, unreserved, truly is a way that the districts can partner with the state in being a part of the solution.
I want to talk about that 10% budget cut in a little bit, but I want to stay on property taxes for just a moment longer. Let me ask you, North Scott Superintendent Jeff Schwiebert, do you feel like that is a political decision at the State House in the sense that they can go home and campaign on the fact that they did not raise taxes at the state level, but taxes are going to go up in many cases at the local level? Yet when I'm out and about, the tax that people complain the most about is often their property taxes. So would, in your opinion, it have been more fair to raise taxes at the state level, whether that be income or sales tax, and not pass this on to local districts?
Well, obviously, I try not to be a partisan politician here. But from a school perspective, that's the most difficult things you put school board members to have to deal with, because they're being passed on some cost that their immediate neighbors and others around them feel very strongly about. And it seems like a more equitable system if we could look at it from a tax-generating standpoint at the state level. Now, I know that was a terrible thing I just said about tax-generating. I think sometimes we're so concerned about raising taxes that we forget to remember why we're raising them. We have a large number of students that need our support for what we're doing. And I think sometimes we get caught up that we don't want to raise taxes because people think that we're wasting those dollars. I think I can give great examples of the positive things that dollars do for kids and how important that is to make sure our schools operate. So I would like to see, yes, it come more from the allowable growth rather than going back on the property tax. Right now, we're going to blend them. We'll blend some of our reserves with the property tax increase, like Cindy mentioned. But I think the best case scenario would be having that foundation formula take care of us the way it was designed.
All right. You're listening to a special fundraising edition of The Exchange. I'm Janine Beck. We're speaking with North Scott Superintendent Jeff Schwiebert, Cedar Rapids School Board member Keith Westerkamp, the Executive Director of the Iowa State Education Association, Mary Jane Cobb, and Democratic Representative Cindy Winkler of Davenport. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more of The Exchange in just a few moments on Iowa Public Radio. Live from the Law Library of the State Capitol Building in Des Moines, I'm Janine Beck, and this is The Exchange. We're speaking about education issues this morning and funding from the legislature and what the funding levels mean for local school districts. My guest this morning, Democratic Representative Cindy Winkler of Davenport, Executive Director of the Iowa State Education Association, Mary Jane Cobb, Cedar Rapids School Board Member Keith Westerkamp, and North Scott School Superintendent Jeff Schwiebert. Before the break, we were discussing the concern that some local districts have about what they consider an underfunding by the state, meaning that they'll have to raise local property taxes. Representative Winkler, let me ask you, because earlier on the program you mentioned, well, they asked for that 2% approval that they could raise their budget by that month, but they don't have to. Do you think that that raising property taxes is a fair decision, or do you think the state should have raised a different tax so that it didn't fall to property taxpayers, or what's the right balance there?
Well, I think with school funding, it truly is a partnership, and by giving the districts the spending authority, it really represents the emphasis we place on local control. They have the capacity to do this, but the decisions rest with the districts and whether or not they raise property tax. And I'm not sure how we would resolve the spending or the funding any other way than giving them that authority at this point. I know the Des Moines Register did a survey about people being willing to take more sales tax, mm-hmm. but that would be revenue to the state that would generate additional income. But we have a mechanism in place that gives that flexibility for the schools, and it's worked. Mm-hmm. And so is it necessary to change that relationship and that partnership at this particular time or allow it to play out, I think, is where we are with the decision.
Before we kind of wrap up on property taxes, Mary Jane Cobb, let me ask you, the ISEA represents teachers across the state. Have you taken a position on what's the best way to come up with that budget increase for schools? Is it property taxes? Should the state have looked at a different kind of tax increase? Because there are groups, advocacy groups, who represent children and families and that say, you know what, the state should have raised property or raised taxes, raised the income tax, raised the sales tax, What do you think?
I think in the immediate term, keeping the allowable growth rate at 2% was important so that districts had the spending authority to do what they needed to do locally. I think that it's important for us as a state to really take a hard look together at our overall tax structure and figure out what the right balance is between property tax, sales tax. You know, sales tax can sometimes be a very regressive tax and affect those at the lowest part of our economy the worst. And so I'm not going to say that I would advocate taxing those at a higher rate without really looking at the whole spectrum. And I think we need to look at that. It's just a very difficult conversation.
In this political climate,
absolutely.
Especially. The governor has said he would not sign a tax increase into law, sort of taking it off the table ahead of the session. I want to read an email from John in Wilton. I am an Iowa homeowner and taxpayer, and I believe the legislature is doing me a favor in telling my local school board to spend the reserves or rainy day funds before raising my taxes. Remember, those school reserves are my tax dollars paid in prior years. Don't raise my state or property taxes until you have fully used those reserve funds. This is exactly the right time to go to the cash reserves. I want to play a soundbite from Senate Majority Leader Mike Gronstall, who has sort of accused schools of using scare tactics in the last week for convincing lawmakers to spend more money. Let's listen to Senator Gronstall.
I think there's a number of school districts out there in the state of Iowa that were putting out doomsday scenario budgets. That weren't reflective of either the 2% or the $100 million. The budgets many of them are talking about are not, in fact, realistic because the legislature and the governor are committed to approximately $350 million in resources that school districts at the start of this session may not have been projecting inside their budgets.
Senator Gronstall said this is the annual game that the schools play in order to convince lawmakers to approve additional dollars for schools. Cedar Rapids School Board member Keith Westerkamp, when you hear that, what do you think?
Well, I get infuriated, quite frankly. We're not playing a game. We have open meeting laws, and all of our meetings are out in the open. Cedar Rapids certainly proved through the floods that we have there is a reason for reserves. Before we build up the reserves that we had now, we were annually having to borrow money. That takes away from education of students. We, at the local level, we have had our Chamber of Commerce and other groups review our budget and how we spend money. And we have an ongoing program going on with that we are responsible with the dollars that we spend. Our costs go up. Our utilities go up. Diesel fuel's going up. It's unrealistic to think that we can hold our budgets where it's at and pay people. We got a lot of people retiring over the next few years. We need to encourage young, bright people into education and not discourage them. And this whole atmosphere is one of much discouragement to young people, that we don't give them the tools in the classroom to work with the students we have. I know there's a lot of districts haven't updated their books and resources for years. Cedar Rapids has been working on that, but we're in a much better situation than many districts in the state. So I think they're it's sound bites to me. I'm sorry, it's sound bites.
Superintendent Jeff Schwiebert of North Scott, what did you think when you heard Senator Gronstall's remarks?
The word is called trust. And unfortunately, over the last year, and I'm not going to blame it on any one particular individual, but because of the state of the economy, we don't know who to trust for what's the right economic forecast. And 6 months ago, we went and met and talked about what's happening with the economy, and there was one set of expectations. And so as you're preparing a budget, which needs to get authorized here, until we heard something different from the legislature, we weren't sure where we were going. And if you remember, the day after Governor Culver announced his $100 million in backfill of the 10% cut, and he was going to fully fund the 2%, the articles in the Register that I read all were from people asking the question, where is he getting that money? Where is it coming from? Because those of us out here in the public weren't allowed to go into those caucus meetings to hear how those things were being put together. So from that perspective, you have to operate from a little bit of what is the worst case scenario. And worst case was, were we looking at no allowable growth and no backfill of any of the cut? So I think you saw that. Now, I would also say, I think sometimes we do panic a little bit and want to put out worst case scenarios because we need it to protect our positions. I mean, that's the way the game is somewhat played. But I think part of that came from the fact that we didn't really know where the legislature was going to end up. That would be my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about teacher pay because, Keith, you mentioned retirements, that you're facing a large number of retirements and that you're trying to encourage young people to get into the education profession. National Education Association statistics show Iowa teachers' average pay is now 26th in the nation, jumping from 37th a year ago. And that's at the effort of the legislature to put more resources into teacher salaries to try to bring up that national ranking. Even in a tough economy, Mary Jane Cobb has said teachers deserve possibly 5% compensation next year. Let me ask you, what is this meant, this 10% budget reduction meant for teacher pay? Will we see that 26th in the nation ranking drop?
I think we will. One of the things that are included in that number is the teacher salary supplements, roughly $5,000 per teacher per year, a 10% reduction, and that's $500. If you look at the states that are below us on the rankings, a $500 decrease could take us to 30th or 31st pretty quickly.
Will there be other states, though, that are most states are facing similar budget shortfalls, similar tax revenue drop-offs. Will their teacher pays, sort of either hold steady or decline as well, and therefore Iowa kind of maintain that ranking?
You know, I'm not exactly sure what's happening in all the budgets in the states ahead of us, but wouldn't it be a sad day that it was okay for us to drop, to stay at 26, but then to drop in the number of actual dollars that we give to teachers, because they come out of school with the same amount of student loans that people in other professions do, and they don't have the same lifetime earnings that a lot of other professions have. And so for us to be able to recruit and retain the best folks, we need to be competitive. And 25th in the nation is a really good goal, but that's a goal so that we can show that we're competitive. And I think we shouldn't be proud of ourselves in a year if we're still 25th, but our salary is less because of what's happened in other states.
Mm-hmm. There have been complaints over the years that people say, well, why should teacher salaries be higher than Iowa's, you know, national ranking for average salaries? Iowa is typically a lower wage state compared to the nation, but so is the cost of living here. So people complain, well, why should teachers be above the regular national average salary for Iowa?
Well, Let me make a point back to your previous comment that I would support as much as a 5% increase for teachers. We cost salary or contracts with teachers very differently than what you would see from AFSCME or from another union. We cost the entire cost of that contract, including health insurance increases and increases in things like IPERS and any payroll taxes. So if you see a 5% settlement in a teacher's contract, that's not a 5% salary increase. In Waterloo, if they had a 19% increase for health insurance, which is not outside the realm of possibility on health insurance premiums, that would equate to a 2% increase in their total package for their contract. So without having any step movement where a teacher would move from one year to the next on their salary schedule or any increase, that could be a 2% package. So it's important that people understand, if you hear that your local teachers got a 2.5% contract, that's not all salary dollars. Some of that's health insurance and IPERS.
Representative Winkler, I know you've been concerned about what the across-the-board budget cut may mean to teacher pay, something that was near and dear to your heart as a former educator. What do you think will happen?
Well, certainly that belongs in the hands of the local districts. But the one thing we know is that we are in competition globally with educators. We want to make sure that we keep the best and the brightest teachers here in our state, because we know that increases the value that our children receive in regard to education. And it does have a trickle-down effect. If, in fact, salaries are diminished, there's less dollars to spend in the economy, and it only exacerbates the recession that we have. Now, you can say that with any industry, but this is one where we have spent over the last several years concerted effort in increasing teacher pay, because we know it makes a difference in student achievement. And as a result of that, we want to stay among the best in the nation in education, and that means we pay the instructors appropriately.
All right. In just a moment, I want to talk about the Iowa Association of School Boards, but before I do, I want to read you a quote from Senator Sean Hamerlink, a Republican from Dixon. He was quoted in the newspaper as saying, "The governor got nervous, made a 10% across-the-board budget cut, believing it was fair to everyone. It disproportionately hits departments based on their size, education being one of those, schools being the biggest recipient of state dollars, shares the pain at a higher level." That being said, Mary Jane Cobb, will ISEA back the governor in the next election? I mean, did he do the right thing with the 10% budget cut, or should he have called lawmakers back and said, no, we need more of a surgical approach to this reduction? And that being said, you're a powerful lobby when it comes to the election next fall.
Well, I think the first thing, I think the governor did what was at his disposal at the time in doing the across-the-board cut. Decisions about who our organization will support in the upcoming election haven't been made yet. We're a Democratic lowercase d organization, and our members from across the state make up our PAC board, and they will come together and they'll interview the winners of both of the party's primaries, and they'll make a decision at that time. And I'm sure that all of the decisions that the governor's made relative to these funding issues will play into that conversation.
Yeah, I mean, are you hearing from teachers who are feeling stressed and concerned. And
I hear from teachers every day that are stressed and concerned, but honestly, they're not stressed and concerned about who the organization's going to support in the next election. They're stressed and concerned about resources to do what they need for the students in their classroom and just sort of getting through the day.
All right. Let's talk about the Iowa Association of School Boards. This is that nonprofit association collects dues from school districts to provide training and advocacy for local officials, offers things like investment and insurance products for schools. Recently, a board member declared the association is out of money. The executive director is accused of granting excessive salary hikes, including one for herself, and the former chief financial officer is accused of using the company credit card to buy tickets to Bora Bora. I want to come to you, North Scott School Superintendent Jeff Schwiebert, because this is an issue that you know something about. What about this controversy surrounding the Iowa Association of School Boards, which takes dues from local districts?
It does. And in the past, it has been a very strong organization advocating for kids across the state. I have been involved with that organization as a member of the Representative Advisory Council as a superintendent for the last 8 years. And I've seen a lot of the good things that that organization has done for my individual districts as well as things across the state. We have some problems. The School Board Association, I don't think, can answer all those questions right now that need to be answered. And what I'm fearful of and have been fearful of for the last 6 months is it tends to put a vacuum on the political lobbyist activities that we all have. The Iowa Association of School Boards has been a fairly key lobbyist group for students from the perspective of school boards and administration. With that voice being absent from the table this year because of the problems relating to ISB, you haven't been able to quite as effectively lobby as maybe we should have.
And so at a time that you needed them the worst, in your opinion, possibly because of the 10% budget reduction, because of the tight economy, you lost that voice.
I think that's a very fair statement, and that's what makes me worried about what's going on. I have no idea where we're going to end up in this particular mess. There are some things that I think may be explainable, but then there's a lot of things as I sit back here that it does need a very good eye to look at what has happened and figure out who was doing the right things and who was doing the wrong things. But I know the core of that organization has at its heart to do what's best for kids, and that has been a very strong thing to support education in Iowa in the past.
All right. Cedar Rapids School Board member Keith Westerkamp, we only have just a moment or so left, but are you angry that these dues may have been misspent? And, you know, the irony of this is the board that was providing boards like yours financial training, and here's a board that possibly missed givings and misdeeds at its own agency.
Of course I am. You know, they've permanently hurt the name of the Iowa School Board Association, and the association's done a lot of good over the years, and here we have a few people that have really hurt our future, and they are an important group for a school board member, because if there's an issue or something, they are the go-to people for us. If we have a question about reserves or whatever, they are the go-to people. They do a lot of studies out for us. They provide a lot of information, and now they're tainted because of what has happened. It's a terrible time period for it to happen. And they're very important to what we do as local school board members.
All right. Thank you so much for your time today. I want to thank all of my guests. Thank you for being here on The Exchange, produced by Catherine Perkins and Jeff Schmidt. I'm Janine Beck, and this is Iowa Public Radio.